And this parable shows a stark reality between those who truly know Christ and those who don't. Those who know him will be about his business. Those who don't know him, for whatever excuses or reasons, will not be about his business. You see, this parable unveils the reality of where one stands before the Lord.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we'll get into the meat of the parable of the talents. And I think it's important to begin our time by explaining what a talent is.
You know, Dave, a talent was a unit of measure back in biblical times. It was really a large sum of money, and some historians claim it was even as much as 600 days' wages. And so in any case, it represented a lot of money. And the Lord uses this common example to help those listening to understand the importance of what was being taught. But as we're going to see, this parable is much more than just about money. So if you have a Bible handy, please turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 30.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Slaves across this time could have varying talents and abilities. They were like employees of the master in a sense. And he says here, and to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. And again, the term talent speaks of a large sum of money, not an ability or a special aptitude. Now, it's important that we realize he gives differing amounts in this parable. It's important we see five, two, and one. Now, commentators disagree on the exact amount of how much this is, but it's thought that a talent was worth 6,000 denarii, 6,000 days' wages. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So he gives differing amounts, five to one, two to another, and one to another. And then notice, very important, middle of verse 15, each according to his own ability. This master understood exactly what each one could do, and there was an expectation with that. He gave five to the one whom he understood according to his ability, two to the other according to his ability, and one according to his ability. And in this context, it's the ability, as we will see, to gain wealth for the master. That's the context. It's a parable. The master knew exactly what each slave could do and had expectations based on their ability. And he gave them and entrusted them differing amounts of wealth accordingly. Now, obviously, again, this is a kingdom parable. The king represents the Lord, who is away between his first and second comings, who is coming is right around the door for these tribulation disciples that Jesus is speaking to prophetically in Matthew 24 and 25. The Lord is showing us here, as we will see, that there are those who name his name. There are those who are naming his name. They believe they are his slaves. They believe they are his bond slaves. That's what this parable is about. But yet we're going to see that their actions evidence something to the contrary. And in the context here, we see that he gives to those who name his name differing abilities. And in the body of Christ, he gives us differing abilities, as we will see. There are some who are very talented naturally, natural talents. Some who have higher intellects than others. Some have more spiritual gifts than others. God gives each according to as he desires, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as the Spirit desired to give out those gifts. And so here we see the parable, the Lord gives them responsibilities in the context of exactly what they were to do. He's not asking them in the parable to do the impossible, but what was according to their ability. It's important to see that. And then the text says he went on his journey. Again, the parable represents the time between his first and second comings. It's a parable. It's a story. We don't want to go down to every detail and try and make each part fit. It won't work that way. It's a story to illumine truth. And likewise, we as the body of Christ, God, as we will see, does the same thing with us. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us special abilities by his Spirit to serve him. We have natural talents. We have differing opportunities. Not everyone is the same. Not everyone's opportunity is the same. And I think it's really important to see there were five given, two given, and one given. There is a differing amount, but as we will see later on, the one with five and the one with two, each were told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little. Every true believer has kingdom responsibility. You see, when you were saved, you were delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's the sphere and reign of Christ. We saw in 1 Peter chapter 4, turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 4, that every true believer has been given a special gift. And if you weren't here with us a few weeks ago when we went through 1 Peter 4, I'd encourage you to get the CDs and look at what God has to say about spiritual gifting and how he wants us to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received, it's already happened, a special gift, employ it in serving one another. It's a command. You need to do it. Serving one another. It's for the body of Christ. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They are grace gifts. We function in the context of grace. We trust Christ. Nothing from us. Everything from him. Each one is a steward. You are responsible. You are a steward for what God has given you. And there will be an accounting. And you will see whether you are a good and faithful slave. Or whether you are a wicked and lazy slave. These are the categories of spiritual gifts. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Faithful slaves speak God's word by God's strength if they have speaking gifts. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. Why? So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You speak, you allow Christ to speak through you. As you speak his word, you serve, you allow Christ to minister through you. And then Christ is glorified. God is glorified through Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we see Paul concerning his speaking gift as an apostle recognized his stewardship. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And praise the Lord, if some of you are starting to even get convicted now, you're not standing before the Lord yet. You have an opportunity to turn and repent and to follow Christ and be faithful in the little that he gives you right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. That's what our parable's about, isn't it? Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found, the word could be translated faithful or trustworthy. It is required of a steward to be faithful. That is the requirement. And my heart breaks as I look in churches these days how unfaithful people are to the little that God has put before them. And we'll see today that is an evidence of maybe something wrong in their hearts. So back to our parable in Matthew 25. What is the response of those entrusted? Notice two are faithful and one is lazy. Verse 14 again. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. And then look at verse 16. Immediately, or literally, having gone, it speaks of immediate action, the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them. Speaks of this ongoing trading. He was doing business and gained 5 more talents. That's money again. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. Notice the slaves who had received 5 and 2 talents immediately went about his business. That's the way the text says. They immediately went about what God had called them to do in this parable, as we see. It's just speaking of business in the parable. The slaves received 5 according to his ability, gained 5 more. And in the same way, the one who got 2 received 2 more. Verse 17, in the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. And remember, the issue is not how much one gained, as we will see. The issue is that they were faithful with what was given to them, what was entrusted to them. There were differing amounts. They were faithful with that. 2 slaves immediately faithfully go about his business. This is a businessman in this parable. He is a businessman. No businessman is in the business of losing money. And he has entrusted this money to his slaves, his trusted slaves, to do his business while he is gone. Two slaves immediately and faithfully go about his business. There's no delay. We'll see in a moment, these represent true believers who are not on their way to eternal punishment. These are true believers who manifest the nature of God being good and faithful. The first thing we see here is that they immediately go about his business, and they are profitable in that. They do according to their ability. But notice the stark contrast in verse 18. But he who received the one talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. We need to recognize in this parable there is a stark contrast with the word but. But in contrast to those who immediately went about the business that they were given according to their ability, and they brought about a gain according to their ability, in contrast, this one went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Notice he goes away, digs in the ground and hides his master's money. And this is a common practice of these days. We can't fault that portion of it until we see really what's the motive behind it in a minute. You see, there were no bank vaults in those days, and people would bury their treasure. That's a common practice to protect it. We see it in Matthew 13:44, as Jesus does not condemn this practice as he uses it in a parable concerning the kingdom of heaven like a hidden treasure. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. It was a common practice to put your money in the ground and hide it. There's nothing wrong with that per se. But we'll see in context, there is something very wrong with it. Notice the third slave, in contrast, did not do what the master expected. The master expected him, as we will see, to do exactly as the first and second did, according to their ability, to work and make money with the master's money. Yet this slave doesn't do that at all. He does not do what is expected and entrusted to him. The slave does not do that at all. He hides the money. This is not what the master wanted him to do. He did not invest it. He didn't make money. As we'll see, he was not faithful. The parable reveals two basic responses to what the Lord has entrusted to those who name his name in the church. Those who name his name before he comes back as these tribulation Jews. They are those, as we will see, who are saved, who are good and faithful. They are joyfully about the master's business, glad to see their master when he comes. Yet there are those who name his name that are not about the master's business, because inwardly they really don't know the master. They see him wrongly, as we will see. Therefore, they are not about his business, but about his own. And this parable shows a stark reality between those who truly know Christ and those who don't. Those who know him will be about his business. Those who don't know him, for whatever excuses or reasons, will not be about his business. You see, this parable unveils the reality of where one stands before the Lord, revealing a true relationship with Christ the righteous, that will be manifest in righteous actions. It's not that we're saved by what we do. Don't run out and try to do stuff to be right with God. But when one acknowledges their sin and trusts in Jesus Christ alone, he changes your heart and gives you a desire to joyfully serve him. Yes, it's hard, it's difficult, but there's a joy and a pleasure and a wonder to serve the living God. In the context, their actions are going to reveal where they really stand before the Lord, and maybe where you stand before the Lord. We see this in 1 John, that there are those whose deeds reveal where they really stand. We should not be deceived, 1 John 3. That if we practice sin, we're of the devil. It's just the reality. If we practice righteousness, we're of God. When you have a changed heart, we're not perfect. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. But we know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. True believers mourn over the sin. They don't want to sin. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They want to serve Christ. Make believers don't care. Make believers continue in their sin. Now, some make believers sin looks really religious, looks really Christian. But the test to whether we know Christ has to do with our obedience to his word. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. You see, the first two slaves, they were obedient to what the master said. He entrusted them to make money for him according to their ability. It was nothing beyond what he had given them ability or their own ability in the context. 1 John chapter 2, he's not expecting the unexpectable from those slaves in this parable. He's expecting them to do exactly what they were able to do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "And by this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." That's not the Ten Commandments. It's a different word. It's his commands. It's what he says. If you are able from a changed heart to do what Christ says, you can know you're his. And notice what he says. "The one who says, I have come to know him." Now, there's lots of people that say that, right? "I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments." What does the word say? "Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." If you are abiding in Christ, then you are going to be like Christ. When you trust in Christ, when there's no sin in that moment, you are like Christ. Christ will be manifest in you. Yes, we do sin, but by and large, true believers will manifest the life of Christ. Christ was an obedient servant. He came to serve, not to be served, to give his life as a ransom. And if you have been saved by the grace of God, you are a changed person, and you will be by and large about his business and not your own, according to his word and not your own business. There's a lot of people about the business of Christ, but they're really not, because they're not obeying his word. But it's according to his word. Tons of people serving Jesus, but not serving in dependence to Christ in obedience to his word. True believers are changed. And if you're a true believer, your desires are going to be about what God asks you to do. Bogus make-believers, as we will see God wrongly. They serve him for the wrong reasons. And they do not and cannot carry out what God calls them to do because they have not been changed. God is gracious. Maybe he wants to show some of you today before it is too late, before that day where you stand before him thinking you knew him, but yet your life exhibited not an inkling of a relationship with the living God. And he wants to show you in advance so that you could be saved, that you would be humbled before him and truly be changed. And then he will use you by his power and strength to serve him. Notice next in our passage, the reckoning that we all face as the master reveals the true nature of his servants and the destiny of each one. Verse 19, back in Matthew 25. "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said," the same thing here. Notice how similar they are. They're exact. "Came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. You see, we should know how God has gifted us. When we stand before the Lord, we should say, "Look, Lord, what you did through me. I praise you for what you did." We should know what he calls us to do. And notice here, "Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. Verse 23, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." There's a real relationship. "And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you'd scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground.' See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. On my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness, into the place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's at this point the parable morphs into reality. It morphs into reality. It goes from a parable to the reality of the accounting that we will face as stewards of what God has entrusted us to do in this short time while we are on the earth. First of all, notice the master's evaluation of those who are good and faithful. Verse 19, now after a long time, this is representing Christ who has been gone for a long time. He will come again in glory. It's representing that. Of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. There's a settling of accounts. There was an expectation of stewardship for what they would do according to the abilities given to them. It's a kingdom parable. The Lord will come and he will settle accounts, by the way. For those of us in the church age, he will come for us, true believers. Or when we die, we will stand before him. And for those in the tribulation, he will come again and he will settle accounts, as we will see next week when we finish chapter 25. Remember, this parable speaks of his coming. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The day will come when Jesus comes back and settles accounts. He will reward us if you are in him. He will reward you either, as we will see, with more responsibility based on your faithfulness and dependence in him, or he will reward you with judgment based on the fact you don't really know him. Notice he's going to settle accounts. Verse 20, notice what happens. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. The first slave brings him 5 more talents. And notice, he is excited to show his master what he has done. Look at this. Saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. In this parable, he knew exactly what he was to do according to the ability that he had. He knew exactly what was required of him. There was no mystery for this slave. He was not afraid. He knew exactly what his master expected from him. And folks, our gifting is not a mystery. Serving Christ is not a mystery. If you have a speaking gift, speak God's word. If you have a serving gift, serve Christ. Just do it. Step out in his power and strength and do what he calls you to do. And when you stand before him because of what he has done, you could say, Lord, you entrusted this to me. Look what you have done through me. So notice back in the parable, the one with the 2 talents, the exact same language. Verse 22, the one also who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See or look, behold, I have gained 2 more talents. The account given by these first slaves reveals their true nature, doesn't it? It reveals their true relationship. They're about their master's business. They want to do their master's business. They're happy about it. They're not afraid to show what has happened when they are held to an account. They're not fearing the master in this sense. Notice the master's joyous response. Verse 21. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. This is an affirmation of their nature and character. Good and faithful. Matthew 19:17, there is only one who is good but God. It's God who is good.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close the broadcast, you talked today about being about the Lord's business. Help me understand what that means.
You know, being about the Lord's business means that we're about doing the things that he's commanded us to do in his word. And so with that in mind, we're going to be serving him and his body in all that we do. And I think it's possible to note that you can be about the Lord's business, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a student or a business executive. And certainly we're to all serve each other in the body of Christ, but yet we also serve the Lord where he has placed us. And with that in mind, we're to be about his business wherever we are. So with that in mind, are you willing to commit to a life of obedience before the Lord, to trust Him and obey Him, to be about His business? You see, if you're willing to do so, you're going to find the greatest joy, peace, and satisfaction in this life.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.